My guest has been described by The Guardian as jazz's new messiah. At 23, he is already a two-time Grammy Award winner and has amassed a legion of YouTube fans around the world, including Herbie Hancock and Quincy Jones. His name is Jacob Collier, and he'll perform here in Sydney on the 30th of April. Jacob, welcome to Now's the Time.
How are you, Frank? Good to hear your voice.
Jacob, you're a genuine multi-instrumentalist and singer, and it's probably fair to say you came to music heavily influenced by your family's involvement in classical music. Can you briefly outline just how different your upbringing must have been in terms of gaining such a comprehensive understanding of music and harmony at such a young age?
I can give it a shot. I mean, every nook and cranny of my house, there was some kind of music to be found, you know, whether it was like something classical or some rock and roll thing or a jazz thing or something wacko like an old alternative folk thing or something. There was always some magic to be found, and I think that I fell in love with the process of kind of osmosis, you know, like hearing something and trying to understand the gesture of what was going on musically and becoming fascinated enough with it just to kind of keep on questing after those goosebumps I got. You know, I get these goosebumps and think, well, why? Why are there goosebumps and how can I achieve them myself?
When did you get those goosebumps? At what age?
It was a mixture of musical moments. I suppose since I was 2, 3, or 4, you know, I remember listening to Bach. My mother used to play Bach on her violin. And there'd be a certain cadence or a certain interval where I would just, you know, you get a feeling. You think, that is beautiful. And what's that feeling? And, you know, I guess as with many other languages, it's the process of learning your own feelings and how to navigate them. And music for me was fascinating there. And I don't think it started at a particular age. I think it just started when I began to listen actively to the music that was around me.
Your YouTube followers are well aware that your clips are filled with multiple windows of yourself filmed singing multiple harmonies. Do you have perfect pitch, Jacob?
Yes, indeed, yeah.
How did you discover that?
Well, actually, it's a funny story. My mother also has perfect pitch, and she used to play these games with me when I was young. You know, because I think she knew I was fascinated by music and the listening of said music. And so she used to do things like, you know, point out sounds that were around me, like a car alarm or, you know, the microwave would go off or the vacuum cleaner would do a hum. And she'd say, hey, Jacob, what note does that feel like? And I take a wild guess, you know, I'd say, well, it feels a bit like A, but, you know, it could be G or A or something like that. And she said, it's cool, it's A. And, you know, for me, it was always being encouraged to navigate whatever note I was hearing by the way it was feeling, you know, rather than what I thought it was called. It was like, what note does that feel like? What thing would you associate that note with? And I guess gradually I built this web of being able to visualize, you know, or audiate these different notes in my head, which has proven useful, you know, for sure.
Almost like a natural instinct. You've become a jazz's flag bearer, I suppose, for utilising internet technology to gain a broad appeal. How do you think that will continue in years to come as the world becomes smaller due to the internet?
Right. I mean, the whole thing is changing right now. As I'm sure we can smell it, you know, we can smell it in the wind. The whole thing is turning and changing. Jazz to one side is just that musicians from all sorts of genres and all sorts of styles are able to essentially get their voice heard just by being creative. And, you know, it's a lovely balance of power being shifted from, you know, the power which was, you know, even 10 years ago, and very much held in the power of the record executive or, you know, the person with the money and the influence. I think now it's just about the person who has a voice that is willing to be sung. And for me, it's been crazy to experience that. You know, I'm just a kid from London who loves to explore these sounds, and I love to build these little webs of, you know, intricate sounds and play the different instruments and stuff like that. And
how comfortable are you with the label Jazz's new messiah, Jacob? And what is your view on that enduring marketing need for music to be pigeonholed?
Right, no, exactly. I mean, you know, it's okay. It's one of those things that people like to do. People like to put people in boxes, and it helps those people to be consumable. I mean, you know, to be called Jazz's new messiah is beautiful and wonderful, and I'm very grateful for that Guardian article. But, you know, I think nowadays it matters a lot less what style you decide to enter into it. It more matters, you know, what story you have to tell. And I think that, you know, I guess as I was saying just now, it's this merge merging of worlds and you know, discovering of each other's musical styles that, you know, enables things like collaboration to take place. And I've collaborated with people from all over the world, and we'll be continuing to this year and beyond. And it's just amazing how the internet enables that to happen. You know, so I may play a jazz standard or arrange a jazz tune, or, you know, get a real kick out of jazz chords. But really, the thing that's exciting is just thinking about myself as a musician, you know, and responding to and interacting with other musicians, no matter what their label or genre may be.
So let's talk about some of that success. I mean, with someone the stature of Quincy Jones calling you up and signing you, along with the subsequent accolades from Grammy Awards to your shows selling out in a matter of hours, how do you maintain a grounded approach to your art?
I think with a healthy sense of humour, you know, because the whole thing is wonderful and glorious and obviously very unbelievable. But, you know, I'm not in it for any reason other than I just think it's so much fun. And I think in some ways, if I started to take it seriously and think, well, nowadays, you know, now I have to sit down and start my career. Like, this is getting serious now. You know, I've sold out a show and I've got a couple of Grammys on my shelf. Like, this is serious. Then it's gone, but the bubble has burst. And, you know, however strange it is, I think it's just a matter of remembering why I do it in the first place, and that fascination being at the heart of whatever I'm doing. And because it's truly remarkable to, yeah, have those two Grammys up there on the shelf. But I feel in some ways like it's, you know, it's just a matter of me trying to connect with myself as much as I can, and the longer I can do that, I think the longer I'm going to go on creating things, because, you know, it's amazing to reach people and amazing to be you know, noticed and to be affirmed and all this kind of stuff in the music. But, you know, I know what I'm brilliant at, and I know what I'm not brilliant at, and everyone has both sides. And I think to only start believing in one, whether it's the good or the bad, is not going to do you very many favours. So I guess it's just a matter of keeping a broad perspective and falling back in love with whatever the thing was that you fell in love with in the first place.
Your shows, Jacob, here in Sydney and in Melbourne, I presume they are your solo shows. Now, on YouTube, I've seen you play piano, guitar, electric and double bass, percussion, and an instrument apparently uniquely created for you, the harmonizer. What is the harmonizer, and what other instruments do you play?
It's funny you should ask. The harmonizer is it's like a vocal synthesizer instrument. And when I sat down with my friend Ben Bloomberg, who's an MIT PhD student, to build and design this one-man show, it was kind of at the heart of the idea, because, you know, I love singing in harmony so much, and it's such a staple of my musical voice, that I wanted to find a way of doing that live that didn't involve a lot of stopping and looping one chord, you know, so you get the chord after six or seven loops. I wanted something that was instantaneous, just like I could grab it, I could harmonize on it, and that was that. And so that was essentially the thing that we created, was that, yeah, it's a 12-part vocal synthesizer, and what happens is everything happens in real time. I sing a note and I play other notes on the keyboard, and the note that I'm singing essentially is transposed into every note that I'm playing. So what you generate is a kind of on-the-spot choir. And, you know, whenever you sing, it's immediately sampled into what you hear a group of singers doing. So, you know, it can be anything from like a church organ, you go, you know, to like a massive gospel choir, you go like, yeah! So it's kind of this crazy flexible instrument, which just kind of, it makes me listen a lot to my voice. And it was a massive learning curve at first, but, you know, right now it's like at the center of this, you know, this one-man show that you mentioned. And yes, indeed, it's the one-man show I'm bringing to Down Under, which is super exciting. So I've never ever been there before, so it's like my first time, and that's always crazy, you know.
With so much technical facility at your disposal, though, Jacob, how do you maintain an emotional connection to the music-making process so it sounds like it's coming from your heart?
Right. It's an interesting question. I think, you know, something Quincy often says is you can never be more or less as a musician than you are as a human being. I think he's absolutely right. I think it comes down to, really what you want to say and how you want to say it. And I know for myself that, you know, the reason I love music, you know, like when I love listening to music, is not because I enjoy the analysing of, you know, chords and rhythms, you know, even though that is something I do enjoy. The reason I love music is because I get those goosebumps. I get that moment of thinking like, geez Louise, that feels crazy good, or I feel really sad, or I feel really joyous, or I feel this compound, it's like a mixture of, you know, regret with longing, with joy, with whatever. And, you know, you can get these emotional responses with music that you can't get, in my experience, from anything else. And so, yeah, those are the things I seek to create when I'm trying to be creative. I think, well, I want to I want to get this feeling. I want to try and achieve this feeling. And it might just be a feeling of being in a really deep groove where you want to sort of dance. That's all you want to do. Or it might be a complex emotional harmonic world where you're guided through the series of chords and end up at this beautiful resolution or something like that. Like, these are the things that I wake up in the morning for, you know. And so, you know, for sure I could play a bunch of notes and I'm sure people would applaud me, but I think for me I get bored fast, and I do get bored fast whenever I notice myself doing this stuff. It's like, if it's just notes, then it fulfills a certain left brain capacity. But I think for me to have the whole picture right, I have to be focusing on you know, yeah, these emotional responses that I've always paid so much attention to ever since I was a kid. And obviously when I was a really little kid, I wasn't thinking, oh yeah, that's a sharp 11 or that's a minor 7 chord. I was just thinking, well, that feeling then. And I think for me, it's just a matter of referring to that, you know, whenever I'm creating something, just to double check that I'm on the right wavelength, you know.
Jazz is such a subjective music, though, isn't it? Is there ever a desire to try and be all things to all people?
Yeah, interesting. I mean, as I say, everything's spreading out, you know. I think there are lots of musicians who love the idea of dabbling in lots of different fields, and you know, I'd count myself as one of those guys. But you know, it's very important, I think, that, you know, to understand where the music is coming from, and so if you are going to sing a jazz song, then it helps to have listened to jazz right back to the beginning, you know, like to understand that jazz is a whole mixture of, you know, of white America with black America, and how the thing came into being, you know, from slave songs to bluegrass to, you know, to country guys coming along, and then obviously bebop happened, and it was this cultural movement. It definitely helps to understand that stuff, because I think, you know, nowadays, you know, with the sort of millennial attention span, there's certainly a tendency to sort of tokenize these different genres, and, you know, jazz can be one of them, and so can hip-hop, and so can classical music, and folk, and all these different kinds of music. And I think for me, I've sort of dedicated a lot of time to just trying to dig a little deeper into all these different sounds and think, well, you know, if this guy was playing the pedal steel in the 70s, and who was he listening to in the 60s that was doing the same thing? And you trace it back, and, you know, you find out where these things come from, and what, you know, what the emotions were of the people who were playing them. And obviously with the internet now, you can do all of that just from your bedroom or on your phone. It's a really exciting time, I think, to be a creative person. I can't think of a better time to be a creative person than 2018, because it's like one of these cultural shifts. You know, people are all bringing their stories to the table. And I think it's just a matter of spending the time and having the courage to spend the time immersing yourself in the worlds that you want to inhabit enough to understand them slightly better.
So what can audiences expect from your Australian concerts, Jacob? Will you be mixing it up with some jazz standards? Will we hear the Flintstones? What's your show going to comprise of?
Well, it's going to be a straight party, let me tell you that. It's always a crazy party when I come somewhere for the first time, and this is, I hope, to be no exception. People seem to be excited, which is super, super cool. And so, yeah, it's the one-man show, and I'll be bringing the songs that I've been playing for the last 2 years on the road, which are, you know, some of my favourite songs, from Stevie Wonder to yeah, jazz standards, George Gershwin, Michael Jackson, some classic songs, and then also, you know, some of my own material from this album In My Room, which I released in 2016 a couple of years ago, and it will be, yeah, a whole mixture of different stuff, and we'll be building some grooves and getting people singing. I always try and get the audience to sing, because it's a lovely experience to sing as a group. And so I try and bring that if I can to the audiences, and so I'm hoping that Down Under will be up for that. I have a feeling that it's just going to be crazy. I don't know why. It's been an amazing response to my coming down there, and it's crazy. You know, I've never even stepped foot on the place, and to feel like I'm going to come, and there's almost like a sort of family of musicians waiting. It's crazy, and I cannot take that for granted. You know, it's an amazing thing. So I'm just excited to come and sing, you know, sing my songs and get other people singing them and sort of everyone to feel that spirit.
We're all looking forward to it. But my final question, Jacob, is what would you like to be doing in 5 years from now?
It's really difficult. I don't know. I mean, you know, this year alone, I'm making this crazy album. It's going to be like between 30 and 40 songs, and like this crazy route through all these different genres. And I'm going to be exploring this music. And even this year, like, you know, if you ask me what I want to be doing in January, I wouldn't be sure. But you know, I think, I mean, the basic idea is to create ravenously, just create as much as I can, learn as much as I can, you know, to live as much as I can, and to, you know, to kind of to just to exist as as wholesomely and as Jacobianly as I can, wherever I happen to be and whatever I happen to get up to. And, I hope to spread some joy and to experience some joy and just to keep the thing moving, because I think for me that's all I ever really want. I don't need anything more than just to be able to create some stuff and find a way to live happily with whoever I'm interacting with. So I think I'm just going to keep doing my thing and we'll see. We'll talk in 5 years, Frank, and then I can tell you.
Looking forward to that, Jacob, and looking forward to your show here in Sydney. And thanks very much for joining us on Now's the Time.
Awesome, Frank. Thank you so much, my friend. See you soon.